Today's program is brought to you by Jeff Peterman at the Conservinator Nation. Have you not heard of it yet? Well, for those of you that don't know, the Conservinator Nation is the newest project of former congressional candidate Jeff Peterman. Jeff is a strong and strident conservative and a Christian, and with his newest podcast, the Conservinator Nation, he's trying to basically give people like him a voice outside of the media. Because if we know one thing, it's that the media is not friendly to the ideas of anyone that's not a progressive liberal. And while Jeff and I may have different points, what we need are a free market of ideas, and Jeff is offering that to you. So go ahead and check him out at Jeff Peterman-Conservinator on Facebook, and also check out his website, www.conservinator.com. Check it out today.
For the clash of punk rock, politics, and your uncensored, unafraid host, Remso W. Martinez. You are about to experience the Remso Republic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of what I'm hoping is your favorite podcast out there these days, the Remso Republic. I'm your host, as always, Remso W. Martinez, talking about great topics, great ideas with great people, which, by the way, we actually have a pretty rather awesome person tonight. As you know, if you've been listening for a while, we typically only have libertarians and conservatives on the show. And one thing I've tried to do is I want to show you the alternative candidates that are out there running, because if we all saw one thing in that recent presidential debate, it's that we're not getting much of any real option out there. Now, for those of you listening, this is not new news, but for everyone that's out there that's like, what the heck is he talking about? Well, as you know, we have two parties which pretty much have the same approach to the same ideas, and all they do is offer two terrible solutions. We've had this forever. Well, not necessarily forever, but definitely in my time. We've got plenty of millennials listening. When was the last time you heard anyone that was not a Republican or a Democrat out there? Well, tonight, I've actually got someone who's running for state office out in Arizona, my home state. She's a cosplayer by trade, and right now she's a full-time candidate running under the Green Party banner. Welcome, Kara Nicole Trujillo, to the show. Kara, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Absolutely outstanding. So, quick question. Where in Arizona are you actually right now?
So, I'm actually in Mesa. And my district is Mesa, Tempe, South Scottsdale, a tiny bit of Phoenix, and the Pima Salt River Community Reservation.
Okay, so I've got to ask, because if I don't, my mom's going to listen to this episode and be like, why didn't you ask her? Lumberjack or Wildcat?
Oh, man. Totally threw me off. You're all going to hate me. I'm really not. I'm a comic book nerd. We were beat up by the sports people.
I'm in the same boat, but I know there are people out there. I've got friends at University of Arizona that they're going to be like, man, why didn't you ask her if she was about that UA life, man?
Well, here's the thing. I think if we spent more time and energy on politics and less on fun things like sports, then we might be a little bit better off in our government.
Absolutely agreed. Which actually brings me to my first question. Why are you actually running for office right now, especially as a third-party candidate? Things aren't necessarily going in your favor, especially as we see the media blocking out alternative candidates. We have large money coming into play. I mean, what makes you want to do this? Because it doesn't seem like something that's a lot of fun necessarily.
But I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I think it's horrible and it's awful and it sucks. I mean, I think that our system has made it so daunting that everyone just feels hopeless. And so I did this. I had actually a pretty decent group of people in my district, and it all fell apart. Our senator moved, our house rep got moved up to senator, and then he is now moving as well. So the house rep that stayed, the only guy left in our legislature in this district, he is running for Senate now, brought in his girlfriend and another person to run a slate. using clean election funding, which, why do you need all this money? You're the only person on the ballot. And before that, he was running against another Democrat. At the end of the day, they're all going to vote the same anyway. So where do we get any change here? Where do we get anything different? And it's unfortunate because I've been dealing with a lot of family law legislation over the past 3 years, and the people I'm running against are very... I don't want to say the people. I want to say the Democrats I'm running against, because the Republican actually is in agreement with me on equalized parenting and family rights and whatnot. So the Democrats I'm running against are very, very anti-father and anti-family rights and pro-DCS. And I think we just can't have that.
Is that a large issue in Arizona? Because I've actually been seeing a lot more problems with that, you know, than usual. And in terms of just, you know, keeping up with stuff that's going on back in my home state, I don't necessarily hear a lot about immigration anymore. I don't hear a lot about gun issues. I've been hearing more about this issue of the state kidnapping kids more so than ever before. So can you shed a little bit of light on that for me?
So that's huge. DCS is governor. Just a little bit of backstory. Governor Jan Brewer said, we're going to get rid of CPS, which was Child Protective Services. And instead, what she did is implemented DCF, Department of Children and Families. And it didn't do anything except pass the buck onto someone else. Back when we had CPS, they said it's not working. We have 6,000 cases that have gone unchecked, unhandled. And now with our new program, DCF, we have 20,000 cases that have not been investigated. We also have adoptability as a factor, that they can take your children, make claims of neglect, which is my sarcastically saying here favorite term, because there's no guidelines. What is neglect? In the state of Arizona, there is no law about how old a child can be before they're home alone. That's up to parental discretion. However, a DCS worker can come in and say, oh, neglect. There's no guidelines. You have a person with no guidelines, no training, coming in and determining your family's worth and value as a family. And guess what? If your kid's really cute and young, then they'll take you to court for neglect and abuse when the judge finds out that there is no substantiated case for neglect or abuse, but your child is highly adoptable, they will remove your parenting rights and adopt them out, because the state gets $75,000 due to Title IV federal funding. So if you have a kid that is highly adoptable, they can and do remove your child and adopt them out. They also, if there is a pharmaceutical company who is doing testing on a new medication, if a parent has a child that would fall under these testing guidelines and doesn't want to put their child into that, DCS will remove your rights and put your child into this testing. So those are things that I would like to correct on the state level. I know that there are some candidates who wanted to correct it on a federal level, and I think that if we remove the federal funding through Title IV, as well as correct some of the laws down on the state level, removing adoptability as a factor to remove parental rights, as well as line out the discretion of DCS, then we could correct a lot of these issues. But the reality is, when DCS was audited and they were asked, what'd you do with all the money? They were like, I don't know. So no, that's not acceptable.
I didn't think it was going to be as bad, but right now I think I've just had my mind blown.
But we're not going to get into that.
Oh my gosh.
It is worse. When we have parents who have been told that have their children removed because their cat's litter box smells like cat pee. There were ants in the kitchen. And so that's just the DCS side. If you want a second opinion medically for your child, that could be considered neglect, abuse, and they will remove your rights. Now, also with children that are young, with babies, with infants, once that infant has been in DCS care for 6 months, the parents cannot get their rights back. It's an automatic removal. Now, you can't even get into court in 6 months Children that are older, it's 15 months. You still are not getting back into court. And I've seen families try to adopt children in DCS care, you know, cousins and nephews and grandchildren. But if a child has adoptability outside of the family, they will choose that. They will opt for that. So that's just DCS. That's not even touching family court.
I mean, the cops aren't involved in any way. There doesn't have to be a local investigation into that.
No, there doesn't. And that's really the problem. I have a huge problem with that. I think that if a parent has a child removed for abuse, and this is where domestic violence comes in. Now, first, I want you to understand, I'm not going off on tangents. Because sometimes it's like, well, wait a minute, you were talking about DCS, and now you're talking about family court, and now you're talking about criminal court.
It seems like a web of problems that are all interconnected. That's the thing that I'm catching from this.
It's an ecosystem. Everything works off of something else. So personally, I think that and this goes into domestic violence. If you hit your child in a way that is aggressive, abusive, and outside of the scope of, you know, a spanking, corporal punishment that some parents do agree with, I'm not even going to get into that. But if you hit your child in that manner, they take your child away. Now, if you beat the crap out of a guy at a bar, you go to jail. Why are we not incarcerating these parents? I think the only way that this is appropriate or fair is if you assault someone in your family, that rather than claiming domestic violence, which just means that they get a slap on the wrist and removal of the children, they need to go to jail. You have committed a crime. You have assaulted someone. Now, they arrest you. They take your children. Children should be going to families first. Grandmas, uncles, aunts, brothers, sisters. If there's a family member or close friend willing and able to take that child, that's where that child should go. Not to a foster care system, not to a group home. So then the parents need to be removed. They need to be incarcerated, and they need to have the appropriate checks and balances that criminals have in this country. So now they take you away, they investigate you and say, oh, you just grounded your kid, that's it? No, that's not abuse. Guess what? Your child should go home. But they don't do that. We don't have these checks and balances. Also, in cases of abuse, we have these parents not being incarcerated for assault and battery. Well, why not? Why is it that if you hit someone on the street, you're going to jail, but you beat up your kid and you don't? No, that's not right either. So it's a huge, huge system that needs a complete overhaul. And we need to have our civil court, our family court, our juvenile court all fall under the same guidelines. I don't know if you're aware, but in Arizona, if the police are called for a family court issue, for a well check, as in one parent says, oh, I'm going to send the police over to check on my kids when it's the other parent's parenting time. If you refuse to allow the police to come in and search your property and check on your children, that supersedes the need for a warrant. And it also is considered probable cause.
Wow.
So the thing is with our civil rights, refusal to allow search and seizure is, you know, you have that right. They have to have probable cause, and your denial of it is not probable cause. Yet in family court situations, it is probable cause. Why is that?
That is absolutely insane. I definitely need to start looking more into this.
Oh, it's a terrible, terrible situation.
Are your opponents in the race bringing this up as an issue, or are you the only one that has identified this as a problem?
I'm the only one that's identified this as a problem.
Wow.
I really don't have, from my opponents, I have one woman that during the debate, during the primary debate, when she was asked what legislation she would pass, she said, I don't know, I'm just trying to win right now.
Oh, my Lord. Anyway, Kara, we're going to go ahead and take our first commercial break. Folks, hang on tight. You're listening to the Remstar Republic. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
The show on the go by subscribing to the Rims of the Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
When did failure become sexy? When did repeating the same mistake over and over again sound smart? I'm Lucy Brenton, candidate for U.S. Senate, and like you, I'm worried about the future of our country. I've taught my children simple principles, which our government has forgotten. Live within your budget. Don't hurt people and don't take their stuff. We remember those simple kindergarten rules. Isn't it time our government does? To learn more, check out my website, lucyforsenate.com. That's lucyforsenate.com. Join me and make your vote count on November 8th. My name is Lucy Brenton, and I approve this message.
This year, the Libertarian Party is breaking through. We need to make sure that our elected representatives are people who put principle over power. That's why I'm asking all libertarians across the country to help me, Alex Merced, run for U.S. Senate here in New York. With your support, I'll be spreading the message of peace, markets, tolerance, and individualism to people all across the state of New York, and also promote participation in the Libertarian Party. Help me spread that message and promote participation in the Libertarian Party with a donation at alexmercedforny.com. I promise you, every dollar will go to spreading the message and promoting the party. My name is Alex Merced, and I approve this message.
Welcome back to the show. We have our guest Green Party candidate out in Arizona, Kara Nicole Trujillo. So, Kara, to kind of move the topic on to something a little bit different, you're a giant comic book nerd, right?
I'm a little bit of a comic book nerd. I'm sure there are people much more nerdy than me.
Oh my gosh, I probably have you topped on that right now. Our studio literally has a Batman the Killing Joke poster right next to me and a giant Adam West statue in the back near the fridge.
Oh, so. You know, I'm friends with Adam West on Facebook.
No freaking way.
Yeah.
He's on Facebook?
Yeah.
I need to make it my goal to go find Adam West now. I'm already friends with Burt Ward.
Yeah, I think I'm friends with Burt, too. Go to my friends list and you'll find him.
Oh, my gosh. Goals. Anyway, speaking of which, I don't want to get too nerdy here, but I actually think it's awesome when I find other people that are into comics and superheroes and that type of stuff involved in politics. It's kind of weird because there's like this strange connection between that. I know with me growing up, I was a giant Spider-Man fan. I think Daredevil and Spider-Man were my two favorite guys, and then Batman came on years later. But I found that the two biggest things that I was always interested in as a teen were comic books and politics. Now, a lot of people would see those two, and they're like, those are two polar opposites. But the biggest thing with me was I was always inspired by the hero's journey these characters would take. I would always find ways to be like, wow, you know, they're doing these remarkable things. But I like the stories of like where there, I forgot what issue of Action Comics it was, where the entire issue is Superman basically talking down a man from a ledge who's about to kill himself. And of stories like that, it's like, wow, people can be heroes in just everyday life. So I'm just curious, has your love for comics growing up and what you do now as a cosplayer, has that kind of influenced your views in any way?
I don't know. I never really thought about it as far as influencing my views. I think that it's opened me up to a lot of new experiences and a lot of new people. I travel all over the country. I travel to Mexico, Canada. I'll travel everywhere. And I meet people. And they follow me online and they see the work that I'm doing and they message me and they talk to me at conventions and they tell me their stories. So I get a very, very good glimpse into the real lives of many different types of people. A lot of times people are limited to their own communities, you know, their church groups or their job or, you know, their friends that go to the local place. So they don't have a lot of experience with different people from different places. So they don't have the opportunity to learn what everyone's concerns are and how things affect different people. So I've seen a lot of that all over the place, what's affecting different people, what their needs are. And they'll keep up with me. I mean, I meet someone at a convention and the next thing you know, I have a message. Hey, you know, my boyfriend, he's in the hospital. He had a heart attack. He's going to die. And so I'm just saying that I do get a lot of information from a lot of different people and I get to learn a lot about what goes on in people's families and their lives. And I get to hold their babies and watch them grow up.
Now, going to these conventions as going to these conventions as a cosplayer, do you think it's more that they're connecting to you or they're connecting to their character, to your character? If, let's say, you dress up as Wonder Woman, are they trying to get to know you or are they trying to get to know Wonder Woman? Because I've literally seen a man at AwesomeCon break down and talk about all his problems in life to a dude dressed as Captain America.
Yes.
So I know stuff like that happens.
Yeah. I think that it starts out as the character and as we get to know each other and as they find me online, it becomes more personal.
That's cool. Yeah, because I think one of the reasons why growing up I was a libertarian, well, growing up I turned into a libertarian as an adult, was because I was reading comics before Robert Downey Jr. made B-rated heroes.
Exactly.
Cool. So yes. I was always the counterculture. That, you know, I'm a Misfits fan. I'm a punk rock fan. So that type of stuff, I was always kind of like on the outside looking into it, in a type of way.
Well, it's really been a lot of fun. This election, one of the things that I've started doing is talking to people about who the characters would vote for and why.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's really hard for people to wrap their head around it. Like, we talk about, I think Tony Stark would vote for Donald Trump because Donald Trump is a businessman and Tony Stark is a businessman. And he's going to want those tax breaks and he's going to want those things. So it shows that you can still be, if you think about who they are as a person and you start looking into who they would vote for and why. Peter Parker, big time Bernie-crat. Hardcore.
You think Peter Parker would be a Bernie-crat?
Absolutely, because Peter Parker is broke and he makes minimal money. He has no insurance. He comes from a poor family. So absolutely, I think Peter Parker would be very socialist minded.
You know, that's actually a really good point. I haven't thought of it that way. Actually, I had a similar conversation.
Fun, right?
Yeah, no, it is. I had a similar conversation during the Republican primaries, and someone asked me, who do you think Spider-Man would vote for? And I'm like, I think he would be voting for Rand Paul. Because in my mind, I would think, wow, he was a guy that grew up without any power. You know, he's a small guy. He got these abilities. He knows what that power can be. So he understands it needs to be limited. He understands that everyone needs to have an equal playing field and that the Constitution doesn't protect the prom queen or the football player. It's supposed to protect the goths, the geeks, and the nerds. So I always thought Rand Paul. But no, that's interesting. Okay, I'm going to throw a few more at you. Okay, Bruce Banner.
Oh, man, very science-minded.
When I think of him, I think of, like, the military-industrial complex.
I am thinking military-industrial complex. I'm also thinking, because of the fact that he does turn into the Hulk, I think that he could go Jill Stein. If we're only looking at – are we only looking at candidates here right now?
No, it could be anyone. It could be anyone.
Oh, see, now you're like, yeah, that's everywhere. Oh,
first person to come to mind.
Bruce Banner. Okay, I would actually think Ben Carson.
Because he's the calm, very soft-spoken scientist, but watch out because I could cut a dude.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, last one. I promise we'll move on. Superman.
Okay, so Superman's very interesting. First of all, Superman doesn't get to vote.
Oh, because he's an illegal immigrant. But
he's an illegal immigrant.
Okay.
Now, if you're going Clark Kent, that's different. But Superman is a much more interesting subject. If you're going Clark Kent, he's going to vote for Hillary because, you know, in this election, because it's a very do what you're supposed to, lesser of two evils, blah, blah, blah. But I don't think that he would side with her. However, when you start looking into Superman, some friends of mine and ours, and we started talking about this, and what would be his legal status? He would have to actually be here as a refugee.
Because his planet blew up.
Planet was blowing up, yeah. So he would be a refugee. And we would have to figure, like, that would be a really interesting, it was a very, very long conversation. So it's something to think about. Look it up.
I could say he'd probably vote for anybody but Donald Trump, because Donald Trump, when he first announced he was running for president, the first thought going through my mind was, oh my gosh, this is how Lex Luthor became president.
Exactly. And that's why I think he would be like, are there any more candidates? There's no other candidates. Well, lesser of two evils. I think he would just go that route.
Oh my gosh.
And then you're probably just voting anyway, because there would be like a disaster or something. You'd be like, oh, I didn't get a chance to vote.
Oh my gosh. Okay, final one. Final one, I promise. Final one. Wolverine. Assuming he's not a Canadian citizen,
he's Canadian. American.
Yeah, let's twist things around. Let's say that he's an American citizen, he gets the right to vote.
He's an American citizen and he gets the right to vote. He's not going to vote.
Yeah, he'd just be like, screw this, right off on the
Harley. He's not going to vote. He's not going to do it. He's, you know, he feels that he's kind of above the situation. He's very, like, live underground, you know.
I don't care because everyone's part of the system type of guy.
Definitely.
Definitely.
You know, he'd be out there, like, you know, trying to vote for, like, Art Bell or some crap, you know. And I say that because, you know, he's not even politically based, but he's very conspiracy theorist.
There you go. There you go. You know, we're actually going to change things up for the final segment, folks. I'll let you know a little bit more, but go ahead and hold on. We're going to go into our last commercial break. You're listening to the Remso Republic. Hang on tight. We'll be back in a moment.
Remso in the mix.
Hello, my name is Alex Merced, and a great way to promote the libertarian message is through libertarian media, blogs, podcasts, videos. At libertarianwingmedia.com, it's an open-door policy for any libertarian who would like to contribute. So just email me at alexmerced@alexmerced.com, and I'll set you up as an author. At libertariansocial.com, you can have a profile, create groups, become friends with other members, message other members, and post blogs. At libertarian101.com, you'll find several videos on pretty much any question you can think of and any issue libertarian. So check those out and make sure to subscribe to great libertarian podcasts, such as the Alex Mercedcast, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad, Lions of Liberty, and the Remso Republic. Thank you very much.
Throughout the show, Karen Nicole Trujillo out in Arizona. For those of you listening the last couple weeks, you know that we've been doing our final segment based off fan demand, you guys wanting a game segment back. We're going to change things up a little bit. We're not going to do word association from hell as usual. I feel like this deserves its own platform. So, Kara, we just talked about who superheroes would vote for. I'm more curious. So, I'm going to give you a character, and you have to relate them to a presidential candidate, or vice versa. I might say Marco Rubio, and you give me a superhero. I might say Batman, and you give me someone else. So we're going to try that for a little bit to just kind of see where things lead off. Because you already surprised me on Spider-Man. I actually think you're more convincing than my Rand Paul argument for Spider-Man. So I kind of want to see how this rabbit hole goes from here. Sound good?
All right, let's go.
All right, let's do it. Donald Trump.
So Donald Trump, I'm going to say the Joker.
Why?
Well, you know, the Joker's got white face. Donald Trump has orange face. I didn't say that. This is the way it is. This is what I want. An underhanded businessman. You know, it makes me smart because I didn't pay my bills. You know, don't even get me started. And, like, we're going to have this conversation another time about how it is Bruce Wayne's fault that the supervillains have taken over Gotham.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, Deadpool.
Deadpool.
You're kind of a curveball there.
It's Ted Cruz.
What? Ted Cruz, yeah. Is Deadpool?
He was the biggest smart aleck. He was just, I see that personality. It's like, I'm going to sit here and eat this booger on TV right in front of everybody and pretend it's not happening. What's up, Francis? You know?
Supergirl.
Supergirl. Oh, jeez. You're throwing me off here. Supergirl. I'm going to say Carly Figurina.
Okay. I guess I could see that. The all-American girl type of personality.
I don't know what's going on here. I'm going to fall down now.
You know? I think Hillary Clinton's doing the falling down these days.
Yes, but she does it with, you know, a little more class.
Yeah, Carly has a way of doing something that just doesn't seem right in the moment and then being able to pick herself up from that.
Right. I mean, she's not a, like, Supergirl's not Sarah Palin. You know, she's not a moron, but, you know, she's kind of like, I'm trying. Look at me.
You know, I'm glad you brought up Mama Grizzly. What about Sarah Palin? We're doing a throwback to 2008. What about Sarah Palin? I'd say Harley Quinn.
Oh, I would absolutely not say Harley Quinn.
Why?
I see where people think that, but Harley Quinn is a doctor and is actually very intelligent. She's just, she's written so poorly.
Oh, burn.
She really is. And the thing is, don't get me wrong, because I love Jimmy Palmiotti. I know him. We've tabled next to each other. We've, you know, but I'm just not happy with Harley Quinn right now. So,
are you talking Sarah in the movies? Palin, the movies, the comics?
The comics, everything, yes. Her character has been turned into fluff. It's been turned into let's make money, that whole like, ah, get it! No. Harley Quinn is a doctor. She's a doctor. They did actually much better with her in Suicide Squad, but she's a cash cow right now.
Okay, well, we're gonna go on a side note. Just you know, curious about Harley Quinn. The only time they ever bring up the fact that she's a doctor is when they're talking about her origin story. You see her as a doctor for maybe two or three panels whenever they're doing a flashback. Then she's dropped in the vat of acid or whatever, and then she's right. You know, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Exactly.
So I don't
and
necessarily
actually they
see an inconsistency with her on that.
Huh? Well, from time to time, they do talk about it when she'll try to break into Arkham and she knows all the codes and she knows where everything is and because she worked there. And that's the problem, is they made her like 12 years old. You know, but anyway, we're here talking about politics. I think they could have done a much better backstory on her. She should be older. She should have training because of her upbringing, not because she had brothers. It's weak. And I think that her whole book right now is just another mess. I think that her book right now should be about her college years. And I think
Harley
that it should
go wild.
Yeah, because... what's happened is it's turned into, like I said, it's a cash cow. People like when I see little girls dressed as Harley Quinn, I'm not thrilled about it at all.
Yeah, actually, that does kind of bother me, unless they're wearing like the onesie and the Harlequin hat.
Even then, she's not someone that women should be looking to for inspiration. And I've cosplayed Harley Quinn myself. When I first did it, it was the Dr. Harlene Quinzel before she was broken. And I just think that we're not recognizing that she's a domestic violence victim.
Yeah, that's the thing about the film I did not get at all. They tried to make the Joker-Harley relationship look like it was something loving. Instead, what it actually is, you know, the Joker's constantly beating her, leaving her to die, trying to kill her sometimes.
Yeah.
It was just an abortion of a film. In terms of that, I mean, I like Suicide Squad, but that whole storyline
is dumb. Yes, absolutely. They should not have had that storyline. I think if they wanted to have the Joker come in at the end and break her out like they did, spoilers. But if you should have seen it already. And if you haven't, then, you know, piss off.
Sucks to be them.
Sucks to be. Anyway, moving on.
Okay, I'll give you like two or three more. Mr. Fantastic.
Mr. Fantastic, Ronald Reagan.
Totally. What about for this cycle? Marco Rubio?
Maybe. Man, I would almost say Bernie on that. No, you know what? Actually, Mr. Fantastic, I'm going to say it's going to be a Gary Johnson.
I could see that.
he's very, you know, very pro-business, and but he also makes sure that everyone's taken care of.
Okay. The Falcon.
Are you setting me up to say Obama just because? I'd say the Falcon in this cycle or in general?
Let's say in this cycle. I'd say he's more of a John Kasich guy. He's trying to make everyone feel good.
Right.
Yeah, he's trying to make everyone feel good. He's just trying to keep things together in a way.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
Okay.
It's just hard comparing comic book characters to cartoon characters.
Yeah.
Oh, boom, boom.
Okay, Daredevil.
Daredevil, I'm gonna say is gonna be gonna be a James Wood, and I don't know if you know him. He ran last cycle for he ran against Matt Salmon, and I'm like, how did this guy lose? He's good looking, he's blind, and he's a smart aleck. He sent out condoms to the Republicans that said prevent abortion. It is Wood.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
All right, final one. Actually, I've got a good response for this one, but I want to hear yours first. Bucky Barnes, the Winter Soldier. Do you want to hear mine first?
I think I want to hear yours first.
I'm going to say Martin O'Malley, because no one cares about him until he becomes destructive and starts taxing the rain.
Give you that. A little profound. So to end this with a deep thought.
Go for it.
No, that's what I was saying you were doing.
Oh, yeah. Nah, Martin O'Malley, no one cared about him until he started destroying stuff. Just like Bucky, no one cared about him until he started killing people. Anyway, Kara, what's your one message to voters you really want to carry home? I know we've had fun tonight. We've talked about some serious topics. What's the biggest thing you want people to remember about you and your race going forward to the election?
I want people to look at me as an individual, look at my platform, look at my website. I want to encourage everyone to get with their families and go through not just the presidential election, but go through who is running for office and what laws are trying to be passed this session in their local area. Let's start having family nights where you get your children and your grandparents and your brothers and your sisters and whoever. Get together with your friends and your family. Meet up at a coffee shop. Go through the candidates. Contact them. I will always be open. Contact me, message me, I'll answer questions. Let's make taking back our government our priority. Let's turn this into a fun, important, exciting thing. And I want to remind people that this presidential election is not the end all. I'm seeing people losing friends. I'm seeing people saying, well, if you're voting this way, then I don't support you. Let's look at who we're talking to and remember, this is our family and our friends. These are people we loved yesterday that we are ready to lynch tomorrow. And we will never get ahead if we do that. We need to work together, think outside the box, vote for the greater of goods rather than the lesser of evils.
Perfect. Kara, if people want to follow you on social media, contact your campaign, volunteer, donate, how could they do so?
I am azpowergirl, the number 4, the letter U.com. I'm Kara Nicole for House LD26 on Facebook. If you look up Kara Nicole anywhere, you're going to find me. Or if you look up AZ Power Girl, you're going to find me for like 8 pages on Google. I'm very easy to find. And please feel free to contact me anytime. Ask any questions. I do my best to be honest and, responsive.
You know, Kara, I've never necessarily supported a Green Party candidate, but if I ever needed to do a superhero team up to take on the forces of evil, that is our current state of government. I'm calling you first.
Thank you. Well, just remember that right now it is more important that the third parties stick together. Let's not become the next Republicans and Democrats.
Absolutely.
We're going to do this differently.
Absolutely. Anyway, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was an absolute pleasure having you on.
Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. Folks, thank you for tuning into tonight's show. See, people of different political beliefs can have a fun conversation. Why can't Fox News or CNN get that? I don't know about you, but if I were back in my home state of Arizona with someone like Kara running, why would I not vote for her at this point? Consider that. Great points, great attitude. We need a change, and she's willing to bring it. But how can you bring more change in your life? Well, you can always subscribe to the show. You can check us out on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, and YouTube. As always, tune in every Wednesday for a new episode. And also, follow me on Twitter. I'm so happy in the past 4 days alone, I've gone up another 200 Twitter followers. Absolutely fantastic. Also, consider joining our private Facebook group for fans. You can talk to me and producer Ryan. Just go Facebook search groups, and it's REMSA Republic Nation. Come join in on the fun. You might get Kara on there. We might talk more superheroes. Who knows? As always, I'm your host, REMSA W. Martinez. Screw the FCC. Good night, America.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for? Give it one more chance.